This is sort of what happens in our real lives. We go and we meet someone we've never seen before, or end up in a situation we've never heard of, or do something we'd never expected. Literature, on the other hand, tends to be more neat and packaged. As Chekhov says, if you have a gun on the mantelpiece in Act 1, somebody better shoot it by Act 3. That's literature. Tolkien's is a little different. People come in that you never expected, whether it's Strider in Bree, or Faramir in Ithilien, and again, nice parallel between those two, or Tom Bombadil, or the Barrow-wights, all of these things just appear out of nowhere, seemingly, to the hobbits. And what that does is it makes the readers become the hobbits in a certain way. Just as the hobbits don't know the world that they're entering into, really, and are surprised by everything that comes along, so too the reader is surprised by each new thing that comes up. And this, to me, by the way, was one of the big flaws in Peter Jackson's film of The Lord of the Rings. Jackson felt that he had to do what Hollywood and traditional literature does. So if you had a character show up, there had to be a motivation for that character. So instead of it just being some random elf named Glorfindel who comes riding up, it's Arwen who happens to be in the love affair with Aragorn, so you can connect it all up and so forth. Likewise, everybody knows who Aragorn is rather than he's some strange vagabond from the wilderness. I understand why Hollywood did that. It's a lot different experience to watch a movie on the screen where you can't stop and reread or think about something than it is to read a book. But I also feel that it shrinks Middle-earth, and it makes The Lord of the Rings smaller and less effective. So the hobbits are intermediaries for us, just like Bilbo was in The Hobbit, but they're also protagonists, and they're also heroes. They're very unlikely heroes, though. They're small. They're weak. They appear to be very soft, though that turns out to be deceptive. And they're fundamentally decent. That's the point of that tedious first chapter. As annoying as the hobbits might be to each other with little social barbs and stuff like that, they're basically fundamentally decent. And it's that heroism of decency that, again, links up The Lord of the Rings to its middle-class readers. We can't all go slay a dragon. We can't all go change the world, but we can all be fundamentally decent. This, by the way, is why the various religious readers are able to find things that fit their faith in The Lord of the Rings, because decency is a virtue that's shared by every religion. And so I think that that's one of the reasons The Lord of the Rings is so amenable to religious criticism, because of that virtue of decency. Now, when the hobbits finally do get out of the small country of the Shire, and just to recapitulate, they're chased by black riders, they go into the Old Forest, and interestingly enough, despite the fact that Tolkien is known as an ecologically sensitive writer, and maybe the first green writer and so forth, the first monster they face is an evil tree, which they plan to deal with by either setting on fire or chopping down, though they don't have to do that. They then end up in the house of Tom Bombadil, very strange character, probably drawn from Finnish legend in some way, but Bombadil was the protagonist of poems that Tolkien had written in the 1920s set in the Oxfordshire countryside. He's kind of a spirit of the countryside. After the Old Forest, the interregnum of the house of Tom Bombadil with its warmth and light and happiness, then we get the danger of the Barrow Downs and the first underground encounter when the hobbits are captured by a Barrow-wight, an evil spirit that lives inside a mound.